At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. We are so excited to have you here. Today, we are discussing first-timer questions for your Disney World planning session. And the proper way to do this is to welcome you in with my co-host, Erica Murphy, who is an official Disney planner. My name is Annie Fry, and we're so glad that you're here. Erica, thank you for joining me again to talk about some of these questions that first-timers ask regularly. I bet you there's a bit of a consistency from person to person when they come to you, but it's a lot to undertake if you don't know anything about Disney World. So you're the person who I always recommend people go see.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, I've said this before, but I could talk about Disney all day long. So Disney adults just do things differently. And that's me.
And that is you.
And that is me.
So the first question that we've kind of pre-gamed a little bit of this so that we can get some of those questions asked that she sees regularly or hears regularly. And one of the ones that I hear also is, when's the best time to go? People are thinking, it's not so much like, I want to go on vacation in June. Is that an okay time to go to Disney? It might be people who are like, I know that I want to take my family to Disney World. What is the best time of the year to lay that kind of a vacation in? Erica, what do you think about that?
So I always have my elevator pitch answer that I give every single person that asks this, and that when is the best time to go is any time that you're able to go. So if you are able to go in the summer, then go in the summer. If you're able to go over holidays, because the magic will be there no matter when you go, if that's the only time you're able to go. So that is kind of my standard. You know, if you are thinking about a particular time, you can only go in July because the kids are off school or whatever that may be, you know, we'll still be able to plan an incredible vacation for you no matter what time of the year it is.
That's such an important thing for people to understand, because you're a Disney planner and people can reach out to you. What's the email address real quick while we talk about this?
Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com.
So when people talk to you, you're going to be able to give them the factual information and the, you know, whatever the circumstances are, she can work with you to help you get that planned. But there are also going to be a lot of people who have experience going to Disney World. And a lot of times those experiences are anecdotal. That doesn't mean that their response to those questions is going to be false. But for my family, for instance, it's not just about the fact that the kids are out of school during the summer, but my husband is a public school teacher, so I can only go when he is available to go. And I will tell you that all of the times that we have taken those trips that are considered to be more high traffic because school happens to be out, they've been amazing. And it keeps me going back again and again. There are things that are put into place to help you navigate more high traffic or maybe less than ideal weather situations. It's Central Florida. So it is what it is.
It's going to rain for an hour.
Yeah.
And maybe and 10 minutes.
And, you know, so you will have some of those challenges that face you. But Erica, when people come to you and maybe they say, we can go whenever, what are some of the reasons why maybe you would go one time over a different time?
So I really talk, this is, I'm going to be so political on this. I'm going to give every political response. It really varies per family. So really getting an idea of what the family is like and what is most important to them is going to be when I'm going to suggest the best time to go. So, you know, if you're a little bit more flexible and you maybe are wanting to go at the quote unquote unpeak time. And I hate saying unpeak time because I don't want people to think that, oh, we're just going to go and walk right on rides. That's not how Disney works. Even off peak times, there's still going to be crowds because it's Disney and it's always going to have people there. Yeah. So even in the off peak time, so to speak, you know, it's still going to be crowded, but you know, there's nothing more magical than Disney at Christmas time and over the holidays. And it's one of my absolute favorite times to go, but it's also some of the busiest times to go. So if you're a first timer, I might not suggest going over, you know, Christmas or New Year's or even Thanksgiving, because it's typically the busiest time of the year where the parks will reach capacity and they have to turn people away. So, you know, there's a sweet spot that is like January to February, you know, before President's Day, you know, which is a really good time to go. The weather's really nice. It's still kind of chilly, not too hot. The crowds aren't crazy out of control. That's typically a really good time to go. Or anytime that schools are not out. So anytime that schools are in session, it's going to be another really good time to go.
Yeah. And another reason why I would advocate always working with a Disney planner, and of course, I recommend Erica Murphy, I think that knowing some of the more, like Disney has marathons, Disney has different events that get placed throughout the year where you can think you're going in an off-peak time, but for some reason there's this thing at the, you know, first weekend or second weekend or whatever it is in January, and it's jam-packed, and you didn't really know that. How would you know to know that?
Yeah.
So working with someone like Erica really helps with that. I'll say my experience of going, our family's time to travel together, along with, we usually bring my parents along and maybe my somebody else in my family, like my sister and her family, my brother and his family, is we generally go at the second half of July into the first week of August. Now, that's hot in Florida. Mm-hmm. It is a hot time to be there. I'm from the Midwest, and we have that hot, humid weather here. I'm pretty used to it. I could see how somebody in a drier climate in further north would maybe find that untenable. But we go and we have a great time. Like a bad day at Disney World is better than any other day anywhere
Absolutely.
Else. So it's still, you know, you still make the most of it and then planning out accordingly and just knowing your limits and being able to anticipate weather and plan for it and pack for it. That's key. But it truly is. If you can make it a time, if you're looking to go when the crowds are less, if you can go when school is in session, that's a really great way to plan, I think.
Yeah. And I really look forward to our second packing episode because it's such a great episode here on the Pixie podcast. But it's funny that you mentioned that because I've been going to Disney since I was a kid. I think I've mentioned that. But even as an adult, we've gone many times over the years. And I think back about the last time we went, and it was in December. And I thought it was going to be cold because it's, you know, a little more chilly there. So I packed hoodies and sweatshirts and cute little leggings. And, you know, I thought I was going to be all bundled up. And I was a sweaty mess by like 2 o'clock because it's hot. It's Florida. And I'm like, it's December. So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the weather and packing because even people that go all the time, like it's unpredictable. So even 60 degrees in Florida can still be a lot different than 60 degrees in the Midwest. So
yeah, we went in the very end of January 2022. My husband and I brought our baby and met his brother and his wife and their baby, and we all packed in one room. It was four adults and two babies in a studio at the Riviera Resort for a long weekend, and it was 30 degrees one of the days that we were there. Like, I have a picture of my little baby Molly, like, in this snowsuit bundled up on the Skyliner. And I remember being on the Skyliner looking at her thinking, I can't even imagine this in June, where we are like wearing minimal clothing and dripping with sweat, and she's in this little bundled up thing. So you can plan for everything, and then you're probably going to go to the souvenir shop and maybe make a purchase or two to adjust. But all of those different types of elements can add to the magic based on when you go and how you go. And I love to go the end of January. It is one of my favorite times to go. We weren't able to do it this year because of kids' sports schedules, but I'm going to kind of prioritize planning that trip ahead a little bit more than I did this past year, because I think that's a great time to go.
Yeah.
Here's another question, Erica. Speaking of, you know, when is the best time to go? How long should my perfect vacation be? So we're kind of in the world of first timers right now. Mm-hmm. If somebody is coming to you and, you know, they have the budget to be able to, they want, this is kind of the way my husband and I tackled our very first trip as a family. You said you've been going to Disney World your whole life. I have not. 2018, circumstances and jobs and everything lined up for us to be able to take our family on a first vacation. And we said, okay, let's do the Disney World thing and get it out of the way. And it started with, let's just do 2 days at Disney World and then we'll go to the beach and we'll just be able to say that we did the Disney World thing. And then all of a sudden it turned into, I think, 5 nights, 6 days. And we were like, when do we get DVC to come back? Yeah, now I'm a DVC member. So I got hooked. I got the scent of the magic and I needed more. But for a first timer, you know, I'm not talking about like spending like every single penny that you have. But what is an appropriate length to really get the full exposure to Disney World for that long vacation, longer vacation?
I usually suggest 5 days, 4 nights at a minimum, because there's four parks. So in order to see all four parks, 1 day at each. And I always give the caveat that you need to know when you go into these vacations that you're not going to be able to see everything. So we prioritize the most important things to see at each one of the parks, and spending 1 day at each of the parks is a really good overview for a first timer. And then just to get a little taste of the magic to want to come back. So I usually suggest getting an early flight on your first day. The good thing about Disney is once you get to the park, they've already checked you in. And even if your room is not ready, you can leave your bags at the bellhop and go right to the park. So you can very easily go to a park on the first day of arrival and then spend 1 day at each of the parks. And I personally don't like to go to a park on the day that I leave, just because, you know, it's a long day. So I like to just kind of pack up and go. So I suggest 5 days with knowing that no park on the last day in 4 nights will give you a really good overview for a first time in Disney.
Yeah, I think that when we did that 6 nights, 5 days, I think we had 5 days of going to the parks. And I don't know if we park hopped that first time, but if you're, you know, we're going to get to some budget questions here in a minute, but park hopping is a way that you can spend some money to do more things in 1 day. But we can talk about the merits, especially for a first timer, of leaving that park hopper thing off. In my opinion, how long should my perfect vacation be? I would say that 4 nights, 5 days is the minimum that I would say. If you can make it go 5 nights or even a full week, 6 nights and 7 days, it really, really matters too on your party. And if you've got a large party, if you have young children, or if you have older adults who are going to want to participate but aren't going, you know, if you have grandparents and toddlers going, they're both going to be at a different speed than if it's you and your best friend or your significant other or whatever. You're going to be able to get a lot more done in a lot less time. So if you want to kind of split the difference between how Erica and I have joked before about how we do Disney World, which is Erica is like, I'm on vacation, give me my cocktail, I want to enjoy the pool and, you know, take in all the nostalgia. And I'm like, how much can we get done in that possible amount of time? What's the most efficient way that we can do it? I sound like a nightmare to vacation with, but I have learned to plan in and factor in relaxation. That's why I'm saying if you can stretch it, if you can afford it, to stretch it out to 6 nights and 7 days, then you can do, you know, maybe two non-park days in those 7 days. And there are plenty of things, and we should do an episode on this. Like, what can I do on my non-park days?
Oh, yeah.
Like going to the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. I highly recommend doing that. It's a dinner show, and it's an evening. And it can be paired with a Disney Springs day or golf or a pool day or a sleep-in day and an early dinner. I've done that myself with my family. I would say if we're not factoring in, like, I'm trying to keep this on a very specific budget, I would always say try to add the night to add one more day before I would plus up in other places if it's your first time, because you're going to give yourself that opportunity to breathe and enjoy that vacation instead of just like white knuckle crazy. So, but four nights, like you said, 4 nights, 5 days is sufficient. I think the extension of it that I'm saying is more so that as if your mom or dad, which is where I'm looking at it from, it just gives you a little bit more time for you as opposed to, you know, let's roll kind of an attitude. So let's shift into that real quick here. The next question is, can I do Disney World on a budget? You know, we can kind of, we haven't put together numbers. It's going to be different for, there are so many factors that change what Disney World can cost. But if people, you know, if you've got your average earning middle class family of four that wants to go to Disney World, you know, the sky's the limit on how much you can spend, Erica, of course. But can you go in with a set amount of money, Erica, if someone says, listen, I've got $2,500 that I can spend? Maybe it's even less than that. Can you work with something like that to still put together a really enjoyable vacation?
Absolutely. And I've had people that have even gone several times before that was like, okay, I have this amount of money. These are my dates. You know, time frame, can you make it work? And I put my Mickey ears on and drink out of my pixie dust cup and I get to work. Because, you know, the tickets vary based on the dates, the rooms varies based on the dates, you know, so kind of plugging and playing and seeing what I could do to meet those specific budgets is something that we do frequently. And it's funny, I had a listener message me last week and was like, we have this amount of money for four, you know, there's four people, two kids, two adults, you know, can this even happen? And not only could it happen, but we were under their budget. So Disney has different categories of resorts that you could stay at. And so, you know, we've talked about this in past episodes, but just because you stay at a value resort doesn't mean that it's going to be like a motel or the quality is any less. The quality is going to be just the same no matter where you stay versus deluxe. It's just going to be a bigger property. It might not have a sit down restaurant. And for a first timer, things like that don't really matter. So there's nothing better than going back to somebody and being like, not only did I fit your budget, but I saved you $800 and you can use that towards airfare or food or souvenirs. So budgeting,
or maybe an extra day.
Or an extra day. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's definitely something that can be done. And I'd say 9 out of 10 times when I plan vacations for people, they're like surprised that it's less than what they assumed. And maybe that makes me a bad agent that I
I'm really bad at sales.
But for me, you know, it's all part of the magic. You know, if I can help save you some money, then I've done my job.
Yeah. You know, the other thing too, and another moment for me to advocate for Erica, who I've used myself to help me or to help family members, people who are going on trips with me. She's helped us with accommodations and with tickets and all of that. The thing that is so great about using, what is your official, like, what does Disney call you?
So we are a travel agent that specializes in Disney. So that's the other thing, that I can book anywhere. So if you want to go even someplace non-Disney, you know, we're certified travel agents, but we just specialize in Disney because there's so many different things that go into planning a Disney vacation that is different than going to like an all-inclusive in Cabo. So, you know, they give us these tools that we have. It's called the College of Knowledge that we have to complete every year that has an in-depth training of everything that's new and different. They constantly send us updates and emails. So, you know, as things change, we're on top of it. And we don't expect, you know, the first timer to know how to get into a virtual queue for Tron that's opening. So they train us to do that. And that's why we specialize in Disney. But we're travel agents.
If people want to contact you again, it's the address?
Erica, E-R-I-K-A. My mom had to be different. So it's Erica with a K at magicexpeditions.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
So you can email her with any questions that you have, no obligations whatsoever if you email and just start that conversation with Erica. But the key thing, and I'll kind of use this as a segue into the next question, is are there any promos? This is where you have such an advantage using a Disney travel agent to book this trip, because when promos happen, like if you reach out to Erica right now and say, you know, I want to go on a vacation, love to save as much money as I possibly can, she's going to tell you what time of year or when it is at your advantage to go to save the most money. But also, Erica, as these promos pop up, if somebody hasn't gotten a promo or had a lesser promo when they booked, how do you help them save that money along the way when you were tipped off really like ahead of time to some of these things that are coming down from Disney?
Yeah, so we know first thing in the morning when these come out, typically before any marketing has even hit the general public. So if you have a trip that's already planned and on the books with me, as soon as I get that promotion, I'm going to look through my reservations and see what would be applicable. And I'm just going to automatically apply it before you're probably even awake. So I am grabbing those promotions and securing that room for you if it falls in your dates before you even know about it. And then I get to send the best email in the world, which is just, you know, I saved you X amount of dollars, you know, let's tack on another day, or let's, you know, what do we want to do? it's the best because, you know, you set aside these budgets and then you can use that for other things.
Sure. Yeah, I've been a part. You planned that one trip for us, mm-hmm. and there was a free dining that popped up, and this is pre-COVID. And we're still waiting to hear, at least as of February 2023, when and how the dining plan is going to come back, at least in the capacity that it used to be for it to return. But we booked a trip with you, and you booked the dining plan for us, mm-hmm. and I don't know if there was like a discount on it when we booked it, but then free dining came out, and I mean it saved us. I think it almost saved us four figures worth of money.
Yeah.
In the end, it was amazing. And that was a really exciting email to get. So you have the ability to save money for your clients that way. What does it cost, Erica, for people to work with you? Like, how do you make your money and how does that all function?
Yeah, I mean, it cost my friendship because I'm going to be friends with you for the rest of your life. So be prepared.
That's a small price to pay.
You're stuck with me. But no, I mean, seriously, it's free for you to use us. So we're paid directly by Disney, and they put that in place because they want you to book with a travel agent because they want you to have the best experience. So they arm us with all the knowledge and training that we have so that we can essentially make you have the best vacation, because they don't want people showing up and not having a park reservation and be like, oh my gosh. And then that's how they're starting their trip out. Whereas when you work with an agent, we help all of that. Okay, we need to get your park reservations. How do you want to do dinner? How do you want to do, maximizing your Genie Plus selections? Like, we help navigate all of that. And that's what they want, so that you have a relaxing vacation. So we're paid directly by Disney and it is no cost to you. You don't even see that. It's all on the back end.
So I always like to say that not only does it not cost you money to work with a travel agent who is recognized by Disney, but it's going to save you money. If there is money to be saved, they're going to be able to do it. So you can contact Erica by reaching out to her here. I'll put the email address also in the description of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about what the best time to go is. We've talked about how long you should go. We've talked about if you can go on a budget. And again, using Erica is the best way to help fit that budget. And mm-hmm. you'll be surprised at what kind of vacation you can have. I think there's a lot of people talking about how expensive it is.
Yeah.
It is not cheap. I will tell you that. It is definitely something you want to plan out so that you have time to save up for. But you can afford a lot more than you probably think that you can. But here's another question that a lot of people ask. You talked about value resorts. Should I stay on property or off property? What does that question mean, Erica? And what's your response to that?
So I kind of go back to my first response when this all started, is that, you know, any way that you can do Disney, I say, let's do Disney. So if it is the only way that you can go is to stay in your mom's timeshare that is, you know, 45 minutes away, and that's the only way you're going to be able to go to the park, then I say, let's do it. And let's figure out a way for you to go and use that timeshare. However, if you do have the flexibility and the budget, I am a huge advocate for staying on property for several reasons. And most importantly is the convenience of it. And, you know, we talk about budget, we talk about money savings. And the reality of it is these trips are very, very expensive. And when you come down to it, how much is your time worth? So do you want to spend 45 minutes in the car going back to your room in the middle of the afternoon? Or do you want to spend 15 minutes on a gondola to jump back over to Pop Century and take a nap and, you know, spend your day that way? So the rooms are typically comparable when you're looking on and off property, unless you have somebody with a timeshare or points or something like that. But if you're just looking, you know, apples to apples, staying on property is very comparable to staying off property. And then you get all the perks. You get the free parking. You get the transportation to all the places. And something that I don't think people put enough emphasis on is the ability to book things. So when you have staying on property, you get to book 60 days in advance for your entire stay. So if you're staying 10 days, you get to book your dining for those 10 days, whereas somebody who stays off property can only book day by day. And if you want something like a hoop,
if you're off property, how soon can they book?
They can still book at the 60 days, but rather than booking for the entire trip, like you can if you stay on property, you can only book day by day by day.
So if you're on property 60 days out from your check-in day,
correct,
you can book every day of your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay off property, you just book 60 days out.
Correct.
That's it for every day that you're going to be there. And that makes a big difference.
It does, especially for, you know, I mean, if you want to get space or someplace that's really sought after, even if you're staying on property, more than likely you're not going to get it on the first or second day of arrival. I always suggest putting it more towards the end because it gives you a better chance to snag those reservations. And again, I'm saying all of this with, you know, if this is the only way that you're able to go, you know, you're still going to have a great time, even if you don't get that space reservation. And stuff does open up all the time, but this just kind of gives you that leg up on everybody else when you can book ahead of time and book for your whole stay and just have that first dibs on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great way to get some of those extra perks. And depending on where you stay, you also get access to the parks, at least right now as of February 2023. If you're on property, as I understand it, Erica, 30 minutes early entry before. If you stay at a deluxe resort, there are specific nights for, is it every park or is it every park but Animal Kingdom, I think?
Yeah, and it varies, and I'm sure by the time this airs, it'll be totally different again. So only
everything is subject to change. But you do get the as a DVC member, which is the Disney Vacation Club, which is different than what Erica is talking about. When you book with her, it's just like a whole separate entity. Mm-hmm. But those resorts, you can stay at the DVC resorts, and you can book those through Erica, so she can help you get into those resorts if you're not interested in participating in Disney's version of a timeshare. But you get, it's like an extra hour. Is it, I think right now, is it an hour, hour and a half? I don't remember what the time
is. It's an hour. And it, I mean, I tell you, it does make a difference. It really does.
Like you can do so much in the parks. And parks at night are different than parks during the day. It's just you could almost like experience the same park twice in the day, during the day and at night. And it's almost like two completely different experiences. But the if you're looking for low traffic times where there aren't people, you're not waiting in long lines, you can get so much done, especially in those deluxe resort hours after the park closes. So it's a perk, but like you said, if you're hearing that and you're like, well, that sounds great, but I can't afford to stay at a deluxe resort, I certainly couldn't afford to stay outside of DVC being a whole different entity. I mean, they're pricey, but they're pricey for a reason. And one of the other things about should I stay on property or off, if you have the means to do it, the one I would say that going from value to deluxe, Eric already hit on this, and it's really important. The quality is there for all of the entities. You're going to get Disney-level quality no matter where you stay, and that's very important for people to understand. Why go deluxe? Well, first of all, they're beautiful. They have amazing pools and amazing amenities on the resorts. But to me, the biggest advantage, outside of rooms that are a little bit bigger, is just proximity to the park. So if you stay at the Contemporary Resort, you're going to walk to Magic Kingdom. That's an amazing thing to experience. If you're staying at Boardwalk or Beach Club or Yacht Club, you are walking to Epcot or to Hollywood Studios or taking a boat right there. And it's just, you get to eliminate some of that travel time. And like you said, how valuable is your time? Mm-hmm. Time is money. And that is very evident when you're booking a Disney World vacation. And you're always going to be making choices. Like, you know what? I'd rather spend the time than the money on this experience. But over here, you know, here's my $15. I'm going to pay for Genie Plus for myself today to skip some of the lines. Like you're going to constantly be making those choices. Hopefully listening to the Pixie Dust podcast and working with Erica helps you feel like when you go through and you make those choices, you're making them with some confidence.
Yeah.
So the last question that I have for us today is, do I really need to go to all four parks? Erica, you know, people, we've talked about length of stay. We've talked about where people are staying and, you know, the best time of the year to go. All four parks, you've got a lot of people say that are first timers might think that Magic Kingdom is Disney World.
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
What do you say to people when they say, do I really need to go to all four parks?
Yeah. And again, depending on, are they traveling with kids? Have they been before? You know, for the very first vacation, I always say, go to all four parks so that you can get a taste of them, because every park is going to be different for everybody for different reasons. And I could sit here and give you my favorite reasons about each one of the parks, and it's going to be very different than yours, Annie's, and people that go for the very first time. So that's why I'm such an advocate for visiting all four parks yourself, rather than going, you know, I'm part of every, well, not every, but a lot of Disney Facebook groups. And there's a lot of opinions. Us Disney people love, I mean, hello, we have a podcast. We like to, we like to talk about Disney.
Yeah.
And we will tell you what we think about it. But that's why I always say, like, I will give you my opinion, but it's so important for you to develop your own opinions. I think about my husband when I went for the first time with him, and he was not a Disney person, so he claims. He says he went for me, even though he booked the next trip by himself, but I digress. His favorite park is Animal Kingdom, and I would have said a million times that that's the park he's going to like the least, because it has the least amount of stuff, but that's why he likes it, because it's chill and we can have a cocktail and walk around. You see why we're married? We're very similar. So, and that ended up being his favorite park. And I would have never thought that. So, you know, that's why I say, just visit every single park, get your opinion, you know, and then maybe next time, if you think I'll skip, heaven forbid, Epcot, which is my favorite part, you know, then you skip it. But at least then you know, and it's, there's so much to do there. You're not even going to tip the iceberg just being there for one day. So just go, you know, see what it's about and go from there.
I think it's, you are saying something here that I want to highlight on a really, really broad level, which is the opinions that are out there about Disney World are very anecdotal. They are valid because they are the opinions of the people and how they experienced it. But I've, you know, I watch Disney Food Blog. If you're looking for YouTube channels that you want to follow and kind of study up for your vacation, AJ does a fantastic job there. I've been watching her since the 2018 trip is when I found her, and it was before we went to that, and I've been watching her ever since. But she's very consistent in saying that the only thing consistent about Disney dining is its inconsistency. So you get to a place and maybe you have a bad experience at one restaurant, and you go back and all of a sudden you're like, this is my favorite place to eat. You know, was the last time a bad experience, or is this just a super good experience? And I can't think of a single time where I've ever had what I would refer to as a negative experience, but I have gone to several Disney World restaurants multiple times. And sometimes it seems like it's a little bit better than another time. And, you know, if I were to take any one of those individual experiences and share my experience that way, I wouldn't want to overly influence somebody else who was like, oh, I really want to go try out such and such restaurant and, you know, dissuade them from doing that because I had one negative experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we share our opinions on the Pixie Dust podcast, they are anecdotal, but I would always encourage you to if you've got, you know, a best friend or an aunt or somebody who's been going to Disney World forever and they've got really, really set in stone opinions, they're valid.
Yeah.
Take it in the context. But if you feel like there's something you really want to do or try, by all means, do it or try it. So do you need to go to all four parks? I agree with Erica. You do need to experience them yourself. I had somebody tell me, like, I just don't get Epcot. I don't understand the appeal of Epcot. And if my husband and I go without our kids, we could just, like, stay in Epcot the whole time and enjoy it and, like, ride the rides and walk around the World Showcase. We'll go to Magic Kingdom.
Around the world.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah. Have cultural experiences with a beverage or two from country to country. And it's just, it's one of the reasons why we really like to do that when it's just the two of us is because we can't really do that when the whole family is there, because the pace is casual. It's a stroll. When the whole family is together and you got the kids and they want to get to ride to ride to ride, it's a little bit more of a pick me up. And when you're in Magic Kingdom, you're hitting this place and that place. We will do that too, but it really depends on your own personal preferences. And Epcot has grown on us over the course of times that we've been visiting. I adore the, like, old 40s or whatever it is, Hollywood vibe of Hollywood Studios. And I'm not like a Hollywood like kind of person. I'm pretty staunchly impossibly Midwestern in like every possible way. Erica's laughing because she knows how true that is. This is incredibly Midwestern. And if you're listening to this and you're Midwestern, that's not a slam. You're Midwestern too. And you like that too.
Yeah.
But you go into Hollywood studios and the music. I listen to 40s Junction on Sirius Radio all the time and imagine that I'm just sitting on Sunset Boulevard on a bench, not riding rides, but just sitting, listening to the happiness taking place around me. So, I mean, like it's a whole atmosphere that I just really, really love. And I mean, I think about my husband, other than Epcot, he just loves being in Epcot. Like, he'll go anywhere, he'll do any of it, and he's happy to do any of it. But everybody has a different experience.
Yeah.
And man, those Disney opinions, they are out there.
They're very fierce. Yeah.
Well, those are a few of the first-timer Walt Disney World trip questions that Erica gets that I have heard before. If you have more questions and you want to know more information about Erica, how you can connect to her, or if there's an episode that you would like us to do, a topic that you would like to discuss, we have the Pixie Dust Podcast group on Facebook. It's a page on Facebook that you can go like and message, and that comes directly to Erica and to me. And we love your feedback. We know that the Disney World community and the feedback that is out there is very broad, and we have unique perspectives that we like to share, but mostly we just like to help people have a vacation of their dreams. Erica, anything else you want to add for first timers?
Yeah, I mean, I say this over and over again. I think we've beat it home, but even if you don't work with me, which I would absolutely love to work with everybody, even if you already have a trip book and have a question, I'm happy to talk to you. Work with an agent. That's the first thing that I always say, because even if you have everything planned, you know exactly what you want to do, where you want to go, just work with an agent just in case something happens. You know, a magic band doesn't work, a reservation needs to be changed. That way they can take care of it for you. Like I said, I would love to work with everybody, but I understand if there's somebody else that you know, biggest advice, work with an agent.
Fantastic. Well, you can contact Erica at erica@magicexpeditions.com. That's Erica with a K, because her mom wanted to be different. That's what.
And I can't ever find a mug with my name on it.
If you find an Erica mug with a K on it, you know where to send it. Send it to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Thank you for listening. We look forward to talking to you in our next episode. We are going to break down Genie Plus. So please subscribe to the Pixie Dust Podcast. And thanks for being here.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.